supreme understanding. Discourses on Tilopa's Song of Mahamudra, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 5.
Bhagwan, the song continues. The practice of mantra and pramita, instruction in the sutras and precepts, and teaching from the schools and scriptures will not bring realization of the innate truth. For if the mind, when filled with some desire, should seek a goal, it only hides the light. He who keeps tantric precepts, yet discriminates, betrays the spirit of Samaya. Cease all activity, abandon all desire, let thoughts rise and fall as they will, like ocean waves. He who never harms the non-abiding, nor the principle of non-distinction, upholds the tantric precepts. He who abandons craving and clings not to this and that, perceives the real meaning given in the scriptures.
The Tantra attitude is the very being of Tilopa. You must understand first what Tantra attitude is. Only then it will be possible for you to comprehend what Tilopa is trying to say. So something about Tantra attitude. The first thing, it is not an attitude, because Tantra looks at life with a total vision. It has no attitude to look at life. It has no concepts. It is not a philosophy. It is not even a religion. It has no theology. It doesn't believe in words, theories, doctrines. It wants to look at life without any philosophy, without any theory, without any theology. It wants to look life at life as it is, without bringing any mind in between, because that will be the distortion. The mind then will project, the mind then will mix, and then you will not be able to know that which is. Tantra avoids mind and encounters life face to face. Neither thinking this is good nor thinking this is bad. Simply facing that which is. So it is difficult to say that this is an attitude. In fact, it is a no attitude. The second thing to remember, that Tantra is a great e-sayer. It says yes to everything. It has nothing like no. In its vocabulary, there is no negation. It never says no to anything, because with no the fight starts. With no you become the ego. The moment you say no to anything, you have become the ego already. A conflict has come in. Now you are at war. Tantra loves, and loves unconditionally. It never says no to anything whatsoever. Because everything is part of the whole. And everything has its own place in the whole. And the whole cannot exist without anything missing from it. It is said that even if a drop of water was missing, the whole existence will thirst. You pluck a flower in the garden, and you have plucked something out of whole existence. You harm a flower, and you have harmed millions of stars, because everything is interrelated. The whole exists as a whole, as an organic whole. The whole exists not as a mechanical thing. Everything is related to everything else. Tantra says yes unconditionally. There has never been any other vision of life which says E without any conditions. Simply yes. No disappears. From your very being, no disappears. When there is no, no, how can you fight? How can you be at war? You simply float. You simply merge and melt. You become one. The boundaries are no more there. No creates the boundary. No is the boundary around you. Whenever you say no, watch. Immediately something closes in. Whenever you say yes, your being opens. The real atheist is one who goes on saying no to life. His saying no to God is just symbolic. You may be believing in God, but if you say no to anything, your belief is not of any worth. Your God is hocus pocus. Because only a total yes creates a real God, reveals the real God. When you say total yes to existence, the whole existence suddenly is transformed. Then there are no more rocks, no more trees, no more persons, rivers, mountains. Suddenly everything has become one, and that oneness is God. A real theist is one who says yes to everything, not only to God, because mind is very cunning. You can say yes to God and no to the world. This has happened. Millions have lost their whole life because of this. They say yes to God and they say no to life. In fact, they think unless you say no to life, how can you say yes to God? They create a division. They deny the world in order to accept God. But the acceptance that stems on a denial is no acceptance at all. It is false. It is a pretension. How can you accept the Creator without accepting the creation? If you say no to the creation, how can you say yes to the Creator? They are both one. The Creator and the creation are not two things. The Creator is the creation. In fact, there is no division between the Creator and the creation. It is a continuous process of creativity. On one pole, the creativity looks like the Creator. On another pole, the creativity looks like the creation, but they are both the poles of the same phenomena. Tantra says if you say yes, you say simply yes. You don't pose it against some no. But all the religions have done that. They say no to the world and yes to God. And they say no to the world forcibly so that their yes can become stronger. Many so-called saints have said that God, we accept you, but we don't accept your world. But what type of acceptance is this? Is this acceptance? You are choosing. You are dissecting the existence into two. You are putting yourself above God. You say this we accept and that we deny. All renunciation comes out of this. One who renounces is not a religious person. In the view of Tantra, one who renounces is an egoist. First, he was accumulating things of the world, but his attention was on the world. Now he renounces, but his attention is again on the world. And he remains the egoist. The ego has subtle ways of fulfilling itself and coming again and again in spirals. Again and again it comes back with a new face, with new colors. It happened. I was staying in my village and Mullah Nasruddin came to visit me. He, in those days, used to live in New Delhi, the capital. And he was so full of the capital that he was almost blind. I took him to the small fort of my village. He said, "What? You call this a fort? You should come to New Delhi and see the Red Fort. This is nothing." I took him to the river. And he says, "What? You call this a river? I have never seen in my life such a sick and thin river." And this happened everywhere. Then came the full moon night, and I thought that at least with the full moon he will be happy. And he will not bring this small village in. But no, I was wrong. I took him to the river. It was a beautiful silent evening. And then the moon came up. Very big. Simply wonderful. And I looked at Nasruddin and said, "Look, what a big moon." He looked at the moon, shrugged his shoulders and said, "Not bad for a small village like this." This is the mind. It persists. It comes in spirals again and again to the same thing. You can renounce the world, but you will not become otherworldly. You will remain very worldly. And if you want to check, you go to the Indian monks, sadhus. They remain very, very worldly, rooted in the world. They have renounced everything. But their focus is on the world. Their focus is on renouncing. Their focus is ego-centered, ego-oriented. They may be thinking that by renouncing they are nearing God. No. Nobody has ever reached to the divine by saying no to anything. This is the vision of Tantra. Tantra says you say yes. You say yes to everything. You need not fight. You need not even swim. You simply float with the current. The river is going by itself, on its own accord. Everything reaches to the ultimate ocean. You simply don't create any disturbance. You don't push the river. You simply go with it. That going with it, floating with it, relaxing with it, is Tantra. If you can say yes, a deep acceptance happens to you. If you say yes, how you can be complaining? How can you be miserable? Then everything is as it should be. You are not fighting, not denying. You accept. And remember, this acceptance is different from ordinary acceptance. Ordinarily, a person accepts a situation when he feels helpless. That is impotent acceptance. That will not lead you anywhere. Impotence cannot lead you anywhere. A person accepts a situation when he feels hopeless. Nothing can be done, so what to do? At least accept. To save face. Tantra acceptance is not that type of acceptance. It comes out of an over-fulfillment. It comes out of a deep contentment. Not out of hopelessness, frustration, helplessness. It comes when you don't say no. It suddenly surfaces in you. Your whole being becomes a deep contentment. That acceptance has a beauty of its own. It is not forced. You have not practiced for it. If you practice, it will be false. It will be a hypocrisy. If you practice, you will be split in two. On the outside it will be acceptance, deep down the turmoil, the negation, the denial. Deep down you will be boiling up to explode any moment. Just on the surface you will pretend that everything is okay. Tantra acceptance is total. It doesn't split you. All the religions of the world except Tantra have created split personalities. All the religions of the world except Tantra have created schizophrenia. They split you. They make something bad in you and something good. And they say the good has to be achieved and the bad denied. The devil has to be denied and God accepted. They create a split within you and a fight. Then you are continuously feeling guilty. Because how can you destroy the part that is organically one with you? You may call it bad. You may call it names. That doesn't make any difference. How can you destroy it? You never created it. You have simply found it given. Anger is there. Sex is there. Greed is there. You have not created them. They are given facts of life, just like your eyes and your hands. You can call names, you can call them ugly or beautiful or whatsoever you like. But you cannot kill them. Nothing can be killed out of existence. Nothing can be destroyed. Tantra says a transformation is possible, but destruction no. And a transformation comes when you accept your total being. Then suddenly everything falls in line. Then everything takes its own place. Then anger is also absorbed. Then greed is also absorbed. Then without trying to cut anything out of your being, your whole being rearranges itself. If you accept and say yes, a rearrangement happens. And whereas before there was a noisy clamor inside, now a melody, a music is born, a harmony comes in. In noise and in harmony, what is the difference? The same sound waves arranged in a different way. In a noise, there is no center. The notes are the same. A madman playing on the piano. The notes are the same. The sound is the same. But a madman playing, it has no center to it. If you can give center to noise, it becomes music. Then it converges on a center and everything becomes organic. If a madman is playing on the piano, then every note is separate, individual. It is a crowd of notes, not a melody. And when a musician plays on the same piano with the same fingers, there comes an alchemical change. Now, the same notes have fallen into a pattern. The same notes have joined into an organic unity. Now they have a center to them. Now they are not a crowd. Now they are a family. A certain love joins them together. Now they are one. And that is the whole art. To bring notes into a loving phenomena, they become harmonious. Tantra says, you are a noise right now as you are. Nothing is wrong in it. Simply you don't have a center. Once you have a center, everything falls in line and everything becomes beautiful. When Gurdjieff gets angry, it is beautiful. When you get angry, it is ugly. Anger is neither ugly nor beautiful. When Jesus gets angry, it is sheer music. Even anger. When Jesus takes a whip in the temple and chases out the traders out of the temple, there is a subtle beauty to it. Even Buddha lacks that beauty. Buddha seems to be one-sided. It seems anger has nothing in it to play. The tension of anger, the salt of it is not there. Buddha doesn't taste so good as Jesus. Jesus has a little salt in him. He can get angry. Even his anger has become part of his whole being. Nothing has been denied. Everything has been accepted. But Talopa is incomparable. Jesus is nothing. The Tantra masters are simply wild flowers. They have everything in them. You must have seen Bodhidharma's pictures. If you have not seen, look again. So ferocious that if you meditate on Bodhidharma's picture in the night alone, you will not be able to sleep. He will haunt you. It is said of him that once he looked at anybody, that man will have nightmares continuously. He will haunt. The very look so ferocious. And Bodhidharma will, or Talopa will speak. It is said their speaking was like a lion's roar, a thunder cloud, a tremendous waterfall, wild, fiery. But if you wait a little and don't judge them too soon, you will find within them the most loving of all hearts. Then you will feel the music, the melody in them. And then suddenly you will realize that they have not denied anything. They have absorbed everything, even ferociousness. A lion is beautiful. Even its ferociousness has a beauty of its own. You take the ferociousness out of the lion, and he is just a stuffed lion dead. Tantra says everything has to be absorbed. Everything. Remember, without any condition. Sex has to be absorbed. Then it becomes a tremendous force in you. A Buddha, a Talopa, a Jesus, they have such a magnetic force around them. What is that? Sex absorbed. Sex is a human magnetism. Suddenly you fall into their love. Once you come across their path, you are being pulled to a different world altogether. You are torn from your old world and you are being pulled to something new, something that you never even dreamt about. What is this force? It is the same sex which has become transformed. Now it has become a magnetism, a charisma. Buddha has anger absorbed. That very anger becomes compassion. And when Jesus takes the whip in his hand, it is because of compassion. When Jesus talks in fire, this is same compassion. And remember this, that Tantra accepts you in your totality. When you come to me, I accept you in your totality. I am not here to help you deny anything. I am here only to help you to rearrange, to get a center of all your energies, to converge them to a center. And I tell you that you will be richer if you have anger absorbed in it. You will be richer if you have sex absorbed in it. You will be richer if you have hatred, jealousy absorbed into it. They are the spices of life. And you will taste you will not become tasteless. You will have an enrichment to your taste. You need a little salt. And anger is exactly in the same amount as it is needed. When it overpowers you, then it becomes ugly. If you eat only salt, then you will die. Salt has a proportion, and in the proportion it is needed, absolutely needed. I remember this, on the path you will meet many people who would like to cripple you, to cut you, to dissect you. They will say, this hand is bad, cut it. This eye is bad, throw it out. Anger is bad, hate is bad, sex is bad. They will go on cutting you, and by that time they have left you. You are simply paralyzed, a crippled one. You have no life left. That's how the whole civilization has become paralyzed and crippled. Unless Tantra becomes the foundation of the whole human mind, man will not be complete. Because no other vision accepts man in its totality. But the acceptance, remember again, is of overflowing. It is not of impotence. One lives one's life. One goes through it. Each side of it has to be lived. And each taste of it has to be tasted. Even the wandering, even going astray is meaningful. Because if you never go astray, you will not achieve to an enriched enlightenment. You will never be simple. You may be a simpleton, but you will never be simple. And a simpleton is not simple. A simplicity needs a very deep and complex experience behind it. A simpleton is simply without experience. He may be a fool, but he cannot be a sage. A sage is one who has lived all the sins of life, who has not denied anything, who has not called anything a sin, who has simply accepted whatsoever has happened, who has allowed it to happen, who has moved with every wave, who has drifted, who went astray, who fell down to the very hell. Somewhere Nietzsche says, if a tree wants to reach to the sky, its roots need to go to the very hell. He's right. If you want a real flowering into the sky, your roots will need to go to the deepest hell in the earth. When a sinner becomes a sage, the sage has a beauty. When a sage is simply a sage, without becoming a sinner ever, he is just a simpleton. He has missed life. And no virtue can come out unless there has been a wandering away, going astray. There is a beautiful parable. Jesus goes on saying that one father had two sons. The younger son asked for his heritage, took it away, wasted into the city with wine and women, became a beggar. The other son remained with the father, worked hard in the farms, accumulated much wealth, and then one day the beggar son, the son who had gone astray, informed his father that I am coming back. I was a fool. I have wasted your wealth. Forgive me. Now I have nowhere to go. Accept me. I am coming back. And the father said to his sons, celebrate this occasion. Kill the fittest sheep. Make many delicious foods. Distribute sweets to the whole town. Find out the oldest wine for him. This is going to be a feast. My son who had gone astray is coming back. Some people from the village went to the farm and they told to the other son that, look, what injustice. You have been with your father. You served him like a servant. You never went astray. You never did anything against him. But never a feast was given in your honor. It was never celebrated. And now that vagabond, that beggar who has wasted all your father's money and who has lived in sin is coming back. And look at the injustice. Your father is celebrating it. Come to the town. Sweets are being distributed. A great feast is being arranged. Of course, the elder son felt very, very angry. He came back, he was very sad, and he told to his father, what type of justice is this? You never killed any sheep for me. You never gave me any gift. And now that son of yours is coming back, who has wasted all the wealth that you had given to him, and wasted in wrong ways. And you are celebrating it. The father said, yes, because you have always been with me. There is no need. But his coming back has to be celebrated. He had gone astray. He is the sheep lost and found again. This story has not been taken in its full significance by Christians. In fact, it says what I am saying, what tantra means. It is a tantra story. It means that if you remain always on the right path, you will not be celebrated by existence. You will be a simpleton. You will not be enriched by life. You will not have any salt in you. You may be nutritious, but no spices. You will be very simple, good, but your goodness will not have the complex harmony in it. You will be a single note, not millions of notes falling into a melody. You will be a straight line with no curves and no corners. Those curves and corners give a beauty. They make life more mysterious. They give depth. You will be shallow in your saintlyhood. You will not have any depth in you. That's why Tantra says everything is beautiful. Even sin is beautiful, because sin gives depth to your saintlyhood. Even going astray is beautiful, because coming back becomes more enriched. This world is needed for you to move into it deeply, so that you forget yourself completely, and then a coming back. People ask why this world exists if God is against it. Then why He throws us into the world of karmas, sins, wrongs? Why He throws us? He can simply redeem us back. That is not possible. Then you will be shallow, superficial. You have to be thrown to the farthest corner of the world. And you have to come back. That coming back has something in it. That something is the crystallization of your being. Tantra accepts everything, lives everything. That's why Tantra never could become a very accepted ideology. It always remained a fringe ideology, just somewhere on the boundary, outside the society, civilization. Because civilization has chosen to be shallow. Good, but shallow. Civilization has chosen to deny, to say no to many things. Civilization is not courageous enough to accept all, to accept everything that life gives. The greatest courage in the world is to accept all that life gives to you. And this is what I am trying to help you towards, to accept all that life gives you. And accept it in deep humbleness as a gift. And when I say this, even those things which society has conditioned you to call wrong and bad, accept sex, and then there will come a flowering out of it. A brahmacharya will come, a purity, a innocence will come, a virginity will come out of it. But that will be a transcendence. Through experience, one transcends. Moving in the dark alleys of life, one's eyes become trained, and one starts looking the light even in darkness. What beauty is there if you can see light while there is day? The beauty is there when there is the darkest night, and your eyes are so trained into darkness that you can see the day hidden there. When in the darkness night you can see the morning, then there is beauty. Then you have achieved. When in the lowest you can see the highest. When even in the hell you can create a heaven, then you have become the artist of the life. And Tantra wants you to make the artists of the life. Not deniers, but great essayers. Accept. And by and by you will feel, the more you accept, the less is their desire.